Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the summer months, we celebrate, observe the church in our readings, the church militant, the church triumphant, and today the readings assemble together to make a beautiful tapestry of the church at war and the persecution that accompanies that war. But there's different kinds of warfare, and I'm going to look at this from a slightly different angle as we look at Mark chapter 6, and the story of Herod and John the Baptist. At first glance, the text seems to have little to do with our world and the context in which we live, but when we dig a bit deeper, we see that there is a great truth revealed here, a truth that cuts through the smoke and the mirrors of our popular understanding of freedom to reveal a lie or a deceit about freedom itself and the danger of that misunderstanding. Not freedom in general, but freedom as our culture tends to define it. This past week, we celebrated our nation's independence, fireworks and barbecues and prayers being offered, and we certainly have much to be thankful for as a nation. We can freely preach the Word of God. We can go out and witness and share our faith in the public square freely. We can choose where we wish to worship and how we wish to worship. And these are all gifts that we celebrate from God as a free nation. We give thanks to that. On the 4th, I was thumbing through my Facebook feed to check to see what was going on with the people that I'm connected with. And amid all the posts you would expect to see, American flags waving in the sun and soldiers walking off into the sunset with a little child's hand, holding on a child's hand as they went, you know, and bowls of vanilla ice cream with blueberries and red berries on it, raspberries to celebrate the red, white, and blue. There were some posts that were disturbing. Some posts that said, we give thanks, we celebrate the fact that we live in a nation where a woman has the right to choose what she wishes to do with her body. And I thought, how sad that we remember men and women who shed their blood for our freedom by celebrating the right to slaughter innocent blood. And then there are the posts that you would expect to see given the events of the previous weeks. Posts that celebrated the fact we now can freely marry whomever we choose regardless of gender. You see, that's how many people define freedom. Freedom is doing whatever it is you want to do. And that all seems wonderful and great, but there's a deception to it. And the deception is in this: we assume that I'm free to make whatever choices I want to make, and that will always lead to me having opportunity to make whatever choices I want to make. But the truth is, when we make choices, there are consequences, and sometimes those consequences open doors to more choices, and sometimes those consequences close doors, limit our options and our choices. That's what it was with Herod. Herod, he made a choice. He would love to have lived in our country where you could freely choose to marry whomever you want to marry, because he wanted to marry his brother's wife. And in fact, he did, because he made the rules of the land. And so he exercised his free right. He married his brother's wife, Herodias. John the Baptist was quick to remind him that this was against the law and was, in fact, pretty diligent in declaring him an adulterer and Herodias an adulteress. Herod could move with the punches. He was a little bit respectful, fearful of John the Baptist, his popular opinion, and he had a little bit of a religious streak in him, so he tolerated it. Herodias was not so generous, and she went gunning for Herod, and so he becomes a slave to his free choice, because choices bring consequences. Let me put it a different way, perhaps a silly illustration, but let's say that I want to exercise my freedom, or somebody wants to exercise their freedom, and saying, I am not going to brush my teeth any longer. It wouldn't take long before that free choice would yield the fruits of few choices of friends. And if I wanted to marry, I would find myself faced with even fewer choices of a mate. You know, the buzzing flies and the odor would just not be very attractive. And then as time went on and my teeth began to fall out because I wasn't caring for them properly, I would find myself with fewer choices on what I could eat, whatever could be pureed and eaten with a spoon or a straw. It's silly, but that's the nature of choices, freedom. Freedom has consequences. It opens doors, it closes doors, it creates opportunity, and it takes opportunities away. Herod chose Herodias to be his wife. And so in our text, we find Herod being forced as a slave to do the thing he would never want to do. He didn't want to imprison John the Baptist, but he did. He did not want to kill John the Baptist, but he did in a most gruesome and horrific way because he was a slave. He was a slave to his choice, his decision to choose Herodias. When we violate God's law with our choices, we find our options limited. Our opportunities become fewer, and we find ourselves becoming a slave to that very thing we chose. This is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6. He says, "What then, are we to sin because we're not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification." Paul reminds us that our choices determine whether we are slaves or whether we are free. We celebrate freedom in Jesus Christ. We have freedom like our nation cannot begin to understand, that freedom that came because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And in that death, he took the weight and the burden of all of our broken choices and our brokenness that we were born into. Just as he rose from the dead, we rise to new life in baptism, free, holy, and righteous in the eyes of God. But the choices that we make, the decisions we make after, can again ensnare us as slaves. Paul points that out in Romans. Peter echoes that same thought in 2 Peter chapter 2. And he talks about false prophets. He says, "They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if after they've escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again are entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse than the first." You see, what Peter is saying is, if after having been freed in Christ, we make choices that again enslave us to sin, it's worse than it was at the beginning. And that's what we find in Herod. And that's what we find in the world around us. As with Herod and many people in the Bible, I can look back in my ministry, and perhaps you've heard stories as well, of godly men, good pastors, who made simple choices that at the time did not seem so big, but ultimately led to the end of their ministry. They were caught ultimately in an affair or in an addiction that consumed their lives and their moral compass. They were caught in embezzling and taking from the church in some other sin, and they were removed from the ministry. Pastors, teachers, principals, DCEs, godly men and women who were good at what they did, and they didn't set out in their first choice to make this decision, "I'm going to choose to be thrown out of the ministry." But they bought into the lie that every freedom brings plenty of opportunities and plenty of choices. And the truth is, when you choose sin, you choose to be a slave to sin. I gave you the good news that you expected to hear, the good news of life, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, but I want to give you the good news that perhaps you didn't expect to hear, particularly if you're struggling in that type of prison that I'm describing. Free in Christ, but bound by decisions and choices that seemed right at one point, but seem so difficult today. I want you to know that because of your life in Christ, because you have received the Holy Spirit in baptism, and because of who you are in Christ, you always have a choice. The choice that John the Baptist talked about as he spoke with Herod. Repent. Turn. Turn. It's not easy to do of your flesh and blood, but it is possible to do of the Holy Spirit who gives you the power. And it begins with confession and absolution. We're being reminded that Jesus Christ said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, and your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. And it continues as the Holy Spirit works through you, through godly brothers and sisters in Christ to provide counsel and guidance as you turn. You have that choice and that blessedness to know that even though the path seems like a dead end, Christ opens a door of grace. This might seem like a strange sermon to talk about the church militant, but it's appropriate because this seems to be the plan of attack for the enemy. It's not the sword that we fear so much in our nation. It's not the ruler who unjustly imprisons us for preaching the gospel that we need to fear so much in this nation. It is the enemy tempting us in our flesh and blood. And I want you to know, we have the victory. Even if you've made a choice that was right at the time, but now you know is wrong, you have freedom in Christ and new life and new hope by His grace. Please join me for prayer. Heavenly Father, there is no doubt that we are under attack. The church within and without, under attack, but our enemy is not flesh and blood, but it is Satan. It is the devil, the flesh, and this sinful world. And I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be wise as we face opportunities and choices in life, and that we would choose righteousness by your power and strength. And I pray that when we find ourselves struggling in sin, and there seems to be no way out, and we are convinced in our flesh that we are trapped because of choices and decisions we made, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see the open door set before us in Christ's grace and mercy, that we would be free of that sin, free of that trap in His grace and His arms of mercy. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you give us freedom. Thank you that through Jesus Christ, we are victorious even over sin, death, the devil, and flesh. We ask this and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.